Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Paul and Jordana, DJ producing today. Hope your Friday is going well. Thank you for tuning in. We take nothing for granted, including what is wise to deduct on our taxes. There's some temptation among many of us, since we've been working from home, maybe to write off that home office as a valid, legitimate tax deduction for our 2020 taxes. Is that a red flag? Is that wise? Financial advisor Andy Tate.
I'm afraid, Paul.
What?
I'm afraid. I actually live in fear of the IRS. Like, I'm one of those people that always gets a refund because I am so afraid that they're going to tell me that I owe money or they're going to come and throw my ass in jail. And I always give them, I know it's stupid. I know it's dumb, but I'm an employee and I always give them too much money during the year because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of the IRS.
Look, you're doing the show from the Mayo Clinic, right? You could, in theory, do the show from prison. Right. I think that would add a whole other element to the show. I think it would attract the. Well, OK. Andy Tate is waiting.
I think Andy would have something to say about that.
Sorry, Andy. It was a bad intro.
Let's stay out of prison. Let's stay out of prison.
Yeah, that's always a good advice.
Thank you, Andy. Andy, you know me. I am not going to prison, and I am a very rule follower here, and I do not want to go to prison. But Paul's right, though. I mean, our offices have sort of taken over, right, Paul?
Yeah, but is it a good idea? My understanding over the years, it's a red flag, Andy. And I know you're not a CPA, but you can talk about financial matters. You have a great range. What's your visceral reaction to that question?
Well, I'll say, Jordana, you don't overpay, you prepay. So you get some back. So that's one way to look at it.
Okay,
so,
thank you.
No, I think when it comes to the deductibility of a home office, I think it is a red flag. And you have to be careful. Now, in 2020, 2021, with what we've gone through, it's created that home office space that a lot of people are using. So if you are going to do it, boy, I think now's the time to do it. Just make sure you do it correctly.
And what does that entail, doing it correctly? In other words, just because you're setting up your laptop on your desk, you can't deduct new carpeting that went into your home office. I mean, any specific things to avoid?
Well, I think one way to think of it is if you look at the tax world, it is gray. So do you want to operate more towards the white or more towards the black? And so being careful of how you approach this, if you're going to be aggressive with your tax planning, then it would go back to your example. You open up your laptop in your living room, and all of a sudden you're going to deduct your new carpet. That's not accurate. So if you're going to do it, there are really two methods you can look at. One is called simplified, and it's simple. The other one is actual. And I think a good starting point or a good rule of thumb is on the simplified, for those who have a very small home office, it's an easy way to do it. For those who have a much larger footprint, then you want to look at the actual, where you need to save receipts, you need to work with your CPA and make sure things are documented.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I know, but nobody's really doing that. So Andy, if, like, for example, like I bought a new printer for my office, I bought a couple of things for my home office. Are those really legitimate deductions? And then is it even worth it? I mean, because what is it going to save me? $10?
Well, that's a good question. Is it worth it? And how much additional time will your CPA require to then make the adjustments to your return? In fact, that into the cost as well. I don't know.
Yeah.
And also keep in mind, too, there are two very specific rules that are clearly stated in the IRS tax code. You have to have regular and exclusive use, and it also has to be a principal place of your business. So therein lies some questions. And during a stretch where we're not allowed to go to our offices, well, I can tell you it's regular and exclusive use, and it is the principal place of your business. So again, going back to what we've all endured over the last 12 to 13 months, you're checking two of the boxes at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And again, consult your certified public accountant to make sure that you are getting good answers. Go to a CPA. Can we just pivot and talk about retirement? The goal is not to run out of money. It's a worthy goal before you die. But you write, you don't want to die with too much money. And I keep thinking, well, you know, you could obviously pass that on to your kids or grandkids. But how do you thread that needle, and what should people be planning right now to do the right thing?
Well, I think it's an interesting topic based on the amount of volatility that we've had in the markets over the last couple of years. And the studies are evolving right alongside the stock market. So the old traditional rule of thumb is a 4% withdrawal rate will last 20 to 25 years. And again, anytime there's a rule of thumb, that assumes you're right in the middle, and very few people are right in the middle. So I caution people to use rule of thumbs to make lifelong decisions. But there are studies show now, and I won't bore you or get into the weeds with the math, but there are studies that show a more of a dynamic approach. So think of it this way. If the market's doing well and your accounts are up, those are the years to do those every third or fourth year purchases, a new couch, a new car, a big trip. When the markets are down and your accounts aren't doing so well, that might be a year to tighten up the belt a little bit and look to not spend money. So really coming at it with a little bit more of a dynamic approach, ultimately, and again, the math will support this, we're seeing up to approximately 2% more as far as withdrawal rates.
Okay.
See, Andy, I didn't think it was ever okay to dip into your retirement. Are you saying that, you know, there are times when it is? And talk to me a little bit about taxes on those years.
Well, interesting you bring that up. Most of my retirees don't touch their principal. I think it's a psychological hurdle.
Oh.
And that goes back to the initial...
Well, I think so, too, because, again, I'm afraid of everything, so I don't ever want to have to touch... I didn't want to touch anything. So are you saying it's okay to touch the earnings on it?
Absolutely. Why else did you save it? And I think I think one of the bigger flaws in retirement planning, people are afraid because they realize they're not going to re-enter the workforce. And I always explain, during the accumulation phase, you can make mistakes. And think of it as you're climbing a mountain. You slip and fall, you catch yourself, you keep walking. Well, once you get to the distribution phase, you've crested the mountain, and now you're going downhill. Well, if you were to trip and fall, you could tumble the entire way. So you do have to have safety measures in place, but I find way too many people cross that final finish line and they've got too much money in their wallet.
Hey, Andy, I'm just curious.
That's a good problem to have.
Retirees or people who are approaching retirement age, if you rely on bonds, bond funds, I mean, the yields are pretty small right now. You're not getting much of a return. Are you a fan of low-fee index funds, you know, the Vanguards of the world, or is there a downside there I'm not seeing? Because people keep talking up index funds. You can't beat the markets. You should be in an index fund. What is your philosophical approach to index funds with low fees?
Well, philosophical approach is control what you can control, and you can control fees. So if you're looking at a fully loaded mutual fund versus an index fund versus an ETF, exchange-traded fund, look at the expense ratios. You can get an S&P 500, you can pay 1%, or you can pay next to nothing. It's the same investment. So I absolutely endorse low-fee investing. The second part of that equation, and you alluded to with bonds, is you do need to have a properly diversified portfolio. I know that's overused, and people tend to turn their ears off when they hear that phrase. But right now, bonds are not generating as much as they used to. So when I have people come in and they assume they're going to get 3 or 4% return, but they're only using fixed income instruments, that's not going to happen. It's unrealistic. Now, don't go buy GameStop, but make sure that your portfolio has some equities to do some work for you.
Interesting.
So I love your message. Yeah. Stay away from rules of thumb.
Yeah.
I think that I haven't heard that investing advice before, but I like it, Andy. Thank you.
Well, another one is I know enough to be dangerous. And for some reason, people have turned that around to be a compliment. Dangerous is never a good thing.
Yeah.
So be careful with I know enough to be dangerous.
But so is, I guess, maybe being too conservative. I know, Andy, you don't know my dad, but Jeff Green's rules of finance are extraordinarily conservative. And now I feel like, not that you've given me permission to do anything, don't feel responsible for anything, but I do what my dad advises, you know, often I do what my dad advises me to, but maybe I need to take a chill pill a little and maybe a little less conservative. Because again, I didn't think about touching that 401k at all, but I got college coming up.
Well, psychologically, a lot of portfolio management mistakes are made. And if you look at time horizon helps determine risk. Yeah. If you have 50 years, to make it a dramatic example, if you have 50 years till you need the money, you're able to take more risk versus 5 days. Well, if you have cash, you can buy yourself time to weather stock market ups and downs. And I think people forget cash is an asset class. And look at it instead of a dollar amount, I have 50,000, I have 100,000. Look at it as a time frame. I have 6 months, I have 2 years, I have 3 years. That will then allow you to invest your money correctly and hopefully get a better rate of return.
Great advice. Financial advisor Andy
Great
Tate.
Advice, Andy. Thank you.
You bet.
Best Prep and Cahill Financial Advisors, thank you. We jumped around a lot of different topics, but many of those are top of mind, especially today. And again, I'm writing this down. Don't buy GameStop. Don't run out and buy GameStop.
That's a tricky one. I think it's in your best interest to avoid that and spend more time outside this weekend.
Okay, I just put a big bet down on Enron.
Andy.
So I'm hoping Enron comes through for me. Andy Tate, thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you.
Hey, Paul, did Folker give you advice? Did Folker give you financial advice when you were like growing up? Did he talk to you about investing in things?
And he's given, and this could be the subject of a segment here. He's giving my sons advice. And
is he?
And basically preaching these low fee index funds. When you do the math and you see how much of your investment gets eaten up in these fees year to year, it can be a big chunk of dough. So yeah, he's going directly to the boys, and dad has always.
And you're cool with that?
I have mixed feelings because sometimes we disagree. But you know what?
Okay.
The boys are adults. They have to make their own decisions. They can get opinions from me. They can get opinions from dad and come up with their own answers.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.